Acharya Adibi, Lord Brahma and others, Rupam, form Diya, by meditation, Vastutataya. Factually, Varnatam could be explained, Mangina, by silence, Dakya, devotional service, Upasamena, by finishing all material activities, Pujita, one who is so worshipped, Prasidatam, may be pleased with us, Esha, this, same personality of Godhead, Satvatam, of the devotees, Pati, who is the maintainer, master, and guide. Translation, present here now is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead whose true form cannot be understood even by such great personalities as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. He is realized by devotees because of their unflinching surrender. May that same personality of Godhead who is the maintainer of his devotees and who is worshipped by silence, by devotional service, by cessation of material activities, be pleased with us. Lord Krishna is not properly understood even by such exalted personalities as Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, what to speak of ordinary men, but by his causeless mercy bestows the benediction of devotion upon his devotees, who can thus understand Krishna as he is. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavahyascasaitampataha. No one within this universe can understand Krishna in truth. But if one engages in devotional service, one can understand him perfectly well. This is also confirmed by the Lord in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Maya Sakramana Partha, Yoga Munjan, Asraya, Asamsayam, Samargamma, Vata, Yasasi, Sakshuru. Now here, O son of Pritaha, by practicing yoga in full consciousness with me, with that mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Lord Krishna himself teaches how one can understand him perfectly well without doubt. Not only the Pandavas, but everyone who sincerely accepts the instruction of Krishna can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is. After instructing Yudhisthira Maharaj, Narada Muni prays for the Lord's blessings, that he be pleased with everyone and everyone become perfect in God consciousness. Translation, present here now is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead whose true form cannot be understood even by such great personalities as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. It's realized by devotees because of their unflinching surrender. May that same Personality of Godhead who is the maintainer of his devotees and who is worshipped by silence, by devotional service, and by cessation of material activities, be pleased with us. So here Narada Muni is asking for blessings in one sense, because he's concluding this session. After praising the Supreme Lord, he is now telling the Lord to be pleased. So how is the Lord pleased? He is pleased by devotion. So in other words, the prayer can be an indirect request for engagement and perfection of service to the Lord. And in asking for this blessing, or that the Lord be pleased, he describes the Supreme Lord as one who is worshipped through different processes, by mauna, which means silence, by bhakti, and upasamena, by sense control and renunciation of material activities, etc. Now, of course, if one only is silent, one cannot get the Supreme Lord. Or if one only renounces material activities, one does not get the Supreme Lord. In themselves, these are practices associated with jnana or yoga, not with bhakti. So, the main element and the other elements modify this. In other words, there are secondary elements, bhakti with silence and with control of the senses or whatever. They are not independent practices. So, in other words, in Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami says that vairagya is not an anga of bhakti, giving up material activities, etc. It's not an anga as such. It is a result of bhakti. One becomes disinterested in material things. Yeah, so therefore, one worships the Lord with bhakti, by which one attains detachment from all material activities. And silence, obviously, the devotees don't believe in silence because they do kirtan. They glorify the Lord. Right? So when it is related to bhakti, mauna means, or silence means, silent about material activities. Yeah? So there is no discussion of material topics. Yeah? So therefore the devotee is performing bhakti with only glorification of the Lord, excluding all material topics. In that sense, mauna is favorable for bhakti. Yeah? Not talking about material things. So in this way, the Lord is worshipped. And he's here addressed as also as the Sattvatampati, the master of the Sattvatams, who, of course, Sattvatas are the Yadus, in a sense, or can refer to devotees in general, one who is the object of worship for the devotees, who gives protection to the devotees. He is worshipped by the process of bhakti. And to state it negatively, he is not attained by others, by other processes. So Shiva and Brahma, etc., cannot attain him unless they do bhakti. And of course, we do know that Brahma performed bhakti and meditated on the Supreme Lord, and then got darshan of the Supreme Lord. So yes, the Lord is available even to Brahma and Shiva, but that is because of their devotion. Even so, if we look in the Bhagavad Gita, we will see that it is often stated that Brahma, Shiva, and even Lakshmi cannot attain the same positions that are attained by persons like the Pandavas or the people of Raja. So though they can realize the Lord and see the Lord, what they realize is not the same thing. So, in the previous verses, Narada Muni said how the Pandavas were in a very special position because the Lord visits their house all the time. So similarly, Uddhava and others state that Brahma and Shiva and Lakshmi, they aspire for such a relationship, but they cannot attain the same relationship as the people of Vrindavan, particularly the gopis, because their bhakti is different. So, certain devotees can realize Krishna, but they realize Krishna in different ways. Devatas and Brahman and Shiva worship Krishna and also realize him in one way. People of Gorkha worship Krishna, they realize him in one way. And Uddhava says, oh, but superior to all of that is the bhakti of the people of Raja. Their bhakti is superior. Their realization of Krishna is superior. Their relationship with Krishna is superior. So, therefore there is a hierarchy even in devotees of Krishna. Now for the hierarchy of other forms of the Lord, worshipping Rama or Shama or Vishnu or others. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, worship of Krishna is considered to be superior to all the other forms. But, in the worship of Krishna again, then the people of Vrindavan are considered to be the highest devotees. And the that is evident from the result, because Krishna is controlled by them to such an extent that the lila or the past has become extraordinary in Vrindavan, and that is not so in the other places. So therefore, there are various types of realization of the Lord according to one's type of worship and sadhana that one performs, according to one's particular desires of how one wants to relate with the Lord. So, therefore, it all depends ultimately on the choices of the jiva, what type of relationship he wants with the Lord. And then, consequently, he performs a sadhana, and at perfection of that sadhana, he can attain that particular relationship with the Lord. So there are various options with Krishna. With other forms, not much option. Of course, that doesn't mean everything is the same for all the countless jivas who worship Vishnu. And they all have the option, only one option of dasya rasa, or servants, servitude. But within them, there is some variety also, because they're all individuals. But nevertheless, the variety is much less. It is with Krishna that we get all these different choices. One could be a servant, one could be a friend, one could be a parent, one could be a lover, etc. And within that, so many varieties are there also. When that takes place with Krishna, there is much variety. But this is actually just a reflection of another aspect. And that aspect is that Krishna, in that form, appears like a human being. And because of that, he performs activities like a human being, which means he hides his nature of God much more than other forms of the Lord. And therefore, people, when they see him, may mistake him for a regular person. Of course, materialists do anyway. So if Prani Kasipu or someone sees the Lord, they think, oh, this is Vishnu, he's an ordinary person, even if he shows great powers. And so when Krishna comes, then even more than that, oh, he can't even be Vishnu. He is really ordinary. But this also applies to the devotees. But it is not an unfavorable appearance for the devotees. It becomes very favorable, because as appearing like a human being, they are not reminded that he is Supreme Lord. And therefore, their love becomes unrestricted. If they see him as Supreme Lord, this will restrict their love, their attraction for him, the respect that they see when they see the Supreme Lord interferes with the intimate type of relationship. So, with all the forms of Krishna, whether he's in Dwarka or Mathura or Vrindavan, he's in this human form. However, in Mathura and Dwarka, he also shows forearms. He shows forearms in the prison of Kamsa. And then later on, in Dwarka, he sometimes shows forearms also. So everybody obviously recognizes, even the Yadus recognize Krishna as Supreme Lord. At the same time, he also has his very human form, so they have a closer relationship than they can have with a Vishnu form. Yet it is not the same as the relationship of the people of Vrindavan with Krishna, because they never see him in that forearm form. They always see him as a human being. So therefore, their love is more intense than the love of the people of Mathura or Dwarka. So that is why it is said that Krishna's form in Mathura and Dwarka is Purna, or perfect. In Mathura, it is Purnakara, and in Vrindavan, it is Purnakama. Because in Vrindavan, we get the most intense form, where there is no aspects of seeing Krishna as Supreme Lord. And it is very prominent in Dwarka. It is somewhat prominent in Mathura. In Mathura, actually, to recognize he actually is Supreme Lord, because Devaki and Vasudev saw him with his four arms when he came out of the womb. He is Supreme Lord. But in Dwarka, then, with all of his 16,108 palaces, all the queens, all the servants, everything, and Krishna is the king there, then it's obvious to everyone that Krishna is Supreme Lord. So that is more blockage to the love and affection. So therefore, Mathura is Purnatara, not so much blockage. And in Vrindavan, Purnatama, no blockage at all. Krishna's only a coward boy. He's not a king. He's not Supreme Lord. So, in this way, Krishna is worshipped by bhakti. And according to one's type of worship, one can attain that type of realization. So those that worship a dwarka form of Krishna, then that's the realization they get. They realize Krishna, but also they realize he's Supreme Lord. They worship Krishna in Vrindavan, then they realize Krishna as a cowherd boy, and they don't see him as Supreme Lord. And the difference is, ultimate difference is that the relationship is more intense in Vrindavan, and therefore even Uddhava says that I also aspire to have love like these people, because it is so intense and not interrupted by the idea that Krishna is Supreme Lord. So, because of the intensity of love, there is more sweetness and consequently more bliss. So in that sense, it is the highest realization of Krishna in Vrindavan. So he is appreciated and realized by the devotees. But even in devotion, according to the type of devotion, then one gets a different type of realization of Krishna. So, in terms of bhakti, we have two types of sadhana, vaidhi sadhana and raghuruga sadhana. Vaidhi is based upon rules and regulations and reverence for the Supreme Lord, seeing him as the Supreme Lord. If we do that, we become absorbed in that and attached to that type of bhakti, then even if we worship Krishna, we will still see Krishna as Supreme Lord. So there will be some mixture in our relationship. If we worship him in dwarka form, we attain dwarka. If we worship him in his Vrindavan form, but we have also great respect for the Supreme Lord and Vaidhi Bhakti, then what happens? There is a place called Goloka Aishwarya, or Aishwarya Goloka, where Krishna is a cowherd boy, but everybody sees him as Supreme Lord. It's not dwarka, but it's not Gokul, where Krishna is just a cowherd boy. So he has palaces and so many things there, chariot and everything. So, therefore it's called Aishwarya Goloka, where Krishna is realized as a cowherd boy, but also as God. If one does sadhana with Raghunuga, in Raghunuga, then one does not give much respect to that concept of Krishna as Supreme Lord, and one tries to develop a mood like the people of Vrindavan, who see Krishna only as cowherd boy, and they act in that relationship. So the practice of doing that is called Raghunuga, and by doing that, one attains Raga, that spontaneous attraction which is present in Vrindavan. So by doing Raghunuga, then one has access not to Aishwarya Goloka, but to Gokul. Gokul is the place in the spiritual world where you don't see Krishna as Supreme Lord, only as cowherd boy. So that is attained through the sadhana of Raghunuga. Of course, both these processes go through bhava and end up with friend. So therefore, by the type of worship, one, we get different types of realization of the Supreme Lord. So that is why here we have bhakti and it's qualified with different processes like mauna and upasama, etc. Of course, if we do that, we can also mix the bhakti. As we see, in some cases, mixed with a lot of sense control and vairagya, we may end up with, again, this type of bhakti, which is not so favorable. We end up with shantarasa instead of anything else. But therefore, one has to be very careful in how we perform the bhakti, with what mood and with what mixture of elements, etc. That will determine the final realization that we get. Well, it's due to, if it's mixed bhakti, then it's due to impurities in one sense. Yeah? Which is due to association. If we associate a lot with jnanis, then we'll have jnanis for bhakti. If we associate with karmas, we'll have karmas for bhakti. So therefore one should associate with pure devotees, people doing uttama bhakti. Well, we have to look around, and therefore Prabhupada established ISKCON. We practice pure bhakti.
You're saying if it's Kula Bhaishri,
if they do Vaidhi bhakti, and they have great attachment to seeing Krishna as Supreme Lord, and venerate him and with rules and regulations, they're attached to that type of respectful worship. Then they go into Aishwarya.